Time for the Positive Chaz podcast for Tuesday, May 17th. And on with us this morning, the author of The Five Masculine Instincts. Oh, this is going to be intriguing. I don't even know how to, Chase, I'm not even sure where to dive into this right now. Because it feels when it deals with masculine instincts, it can almost be like a relative thing because everybody views masculine so differently. Chase, you may have to give me a hand with your last name. So is Replogi?
Happy to do it. It's Replogi, so close. Anything with an R is close enough for me.
I thought you were French. I had a French twist on your last name. So break down through your book, it's kind of fun because it kind of goes into like the five masculine instincts. Sarcasm, which I think some of us kind of play that card heavily. Adventure, so let's say Samson, more of the Samson card. Ambition with Moses. Reputation with David. And apathy with Abraham. So let's just break it down, Chase. Where are we going with the five masculine instincts?
Yeah, well, happy to do it. It's it is interesting. I'm keenly aware just putting the word masculinity on the title of a book can make it sometimes controversial, regardless of sort of what's inside of it. This is a conversation that our culture is very much having right now. What is masculinity? What does it mean to be a man? There's obviously conversations taking place around toxic masculinity. And my experience is I'm first and foremost a pastor. And so when I look at the men that I pastor, myself being a man, I'm raising a son, I've got a brother. The world pays so much attention to the externals. So what is the man? How's a man supposed to behave? What are the things men are supposed to be into? What are some of the tropes or the cliches around masculinity? And unfortunately, that conversation never gets pushed deeper to how do I just pay closer attention to who I am and how do I mature that into something that can bear greater responsibility? I think of manhood sometimes as one of the things in life that if you aim right at it, if you just say, how do I be a man? How do I be a man? I think you actually miss. You end up with kind of a caricature of it. But when you focus on character, how do I take what I have, who I am, these kind of raw masculine traits, whatever they are, and how do I mature those into greater Christ-likeness? How do I grow character that can bear greater responsibilities? And I think manhood's something, much like we discuss in the Christian faith, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. It's something that's just there, something that's a byproduct of that pursuit of character is manhood.
It's cool that you mentioned you're focusing on the character because let's just use this in the dating scene. The dating scene, usually you hear a lot about, oh, they're so attractive, they're so beautiful, they're so this or this or this. Okay, but what are they like? What's their character, the building blocks, the qualities? It sounds like you're really focusing on the qualities in this book.
Yeah, well, we've been caught in this tension where as our culture has a conversation around toxic masculinity, there are these kind of traditionally masculine traits of aggression and stoicism and competitiveness that need to be deconstructed and a new form of masculinity. There's been a kind of opposite reaction where some men have said, no, you need to just embrace your raw masculine instincts with wild abandon. Just pursue, you know, don't question your instincts and indulge them. Both really are focused on externals, and nobody gets around to talking about, yeah, well, what's actually going on in your life, and where are areas that maybe you're being controlled or mastered by instincts you've never paid much attention to? And if you did check those or mature those and cultivate better character, how might that lead you into becoming a better person, into becoming more of a man? So, yeah, I think character is absolutely the right place to start, and unfortunately, it's often not the place we start. Even within the church, we tend to talk about sins, which are important conversations. The sins men are prone to. But eventually you have to push even that conversation deeper and say, well, what's going on inside of me that's leading to those temptations, those sins, that behavior? That question of instincts, deeper instincts, and character maturity is really, I think, the most important conversation.
Chase, do you think it's really possible? There's a term that we hear frequently. It's alpha male. Is that a real thing? Is it possible to achieve that status? Or is that something we should be like, okay, it's a myth?
Yeah, you know, for me, I guess the question would be to what end, to what purpose, you know, alpha to who, or, you know, there's certainly a sense of competitiveness. And I want to be careful to say, you know, I don't think, you know, if you find yourself more in line with traditionally masculine traits, I don't think that's wrong either. What I think matters is, do you have the skill set and the wisdom to look at yourself and to recognize your own vulnerabilities, to recognize your weaknesses, to recognize immaturity? I mean, what I'm writing about in the book are there are these instincts that sometimes we overindulge that can lead to destruction. Do you have the wisdom to recognize those? That to me is a much more important skill set than just how do I rank compared to other men? You know, who's ahead of who and how high am I on this hierarchy? I'm really more interested in what's going on in a man's soul, what's going on inside, and do I have the wisdom? Do I have the focus to recognize those things in myself?
To understand you a little bit better, you've been the pastor of Bent Oak Church in Springfield, Missouri, almost 10 years. You're the host of the Pastor and Writer podcast. You hold a degree in biblical studies and an MA in New Testament from the Assemblies of God Theological Seminary. What led you to write this book? Like, you just wake up one morning and decide, I need to write a book on dudes.
Yeah, that was not how it went. Yeah, I've watched the men in my congregation struggle with the question, what does it mean to be a man? And that seems like a question that we should have answers to, particularly what does it mean in my case to be a Christian man? That seems like such a basic fundamental question. But I think if you ask yourself that, or you ask men around you, like, we could throw out some kind of cliches about it. But really what that actually means and how it impacts the way I live is a question a lot of men didn't have an answer to. And I think it's actually a fairly important question. So for me, it started off as, I just wanted to pastor the men in my congregation well, and I wanted to have more meaningful conversations about how we grow as men, not just feel the pressure to live up to some cliche or external expectation, but how do we actually, for me, it's about bearing responsibility. How do we become the kind of men that can bear greater responsibility to families, to place, to careers, to congregations? That's the thing I think we should be aiming at, is how do I just grow in the kind of character that allows me to be more responsible and more mature?
It's easy for us when we talk about things in words, because obviously we are radio, all right? And so we can talk about the different qualities that we're looking for. Is there, let's say, maybe a household name, someone that a lot of us are familiar with that you would say, you know what, if this person is a man, I would say it would be this person right here?
You know, not to dodge the question, but one of the things I actually write about in the book is when I think of the men that I respect most in my life, they don't tend to be those like heroic kind of idealistic figures. They tend to be men, when I look at them and think, I would love for my life to be like that, they tend to be quieter and more humble men who are often strong or capable or skilled or masculine, but they're not out there trying to prove it or flaunt it or show it. They don't have that kind of insecurity that needs that. They're just loving a wife and raising kids and working a job and stable. So the truth is, you know, do I have a name that everybody would know? Probably not, but I've got a whole bunch of men in my life that nobody does know that I think are probably the better heroes, the better idol, if you want to use the word, to look up to for what is possible. If we just grow and mature, I think we live better lives and have stronger relationships. But often that's not the glamorous, obvious thing in front of us, and can look different for different men in different places, different times.
Quiet dignity.
Yeah, I think that's right, because the last chapter of this book is titled Nothing Left to Prove. And I think a lot of what we associate with masculinity is people trying to prove masculinity. But I think there's a quieter kind of masculinity that's true strength. It doesn't mean that it's somehow abandoned masculinity or abandoned manhood. It's not out there trying to flaunt it or prove it to everyone. And I actually think that makes for a greater inner strength and somebody who can serve others better, who can bear responsibility well. It really is not about proving it. It's just about becoming a person of character who can serve well.
The book is called The Five Masculine Instincts. Chase, you're going to give me a hand with your last name again.
Rep Logal.
Rep Logal. Rep Logal. Rep Logal.
I meant to
call it The Five Masculine Instincts. And so now, Chase, is this a self-help book?
It's probably categorized somewhere on a shelf as self-help. It is self-help in that I want men to pay closer attention to their life. There's a place where the Apostle Paul says to the young man Timothy, who's serving in a really tough place of Ephesus, he says, you'll make progress and you'll show that progress if you learn to pay close attention to your life and to the teaching, the faith that you've inherited. We usually do one of those two things. And so I do think, you know, the book is self-help in that it helps you pay closer attention to your instincts, your motives, your behavior. But there's always a piece that has to come alongside that's bigger than you. In Paul's advice, the gospel that you've received. So this faith that we have, this Savior that we have, it steps in and does something we can't do through self-help alone. So it's always those two works. Pay close attention to your life, pay close attention to what you have by the faith.
By reference, I want to use Tim Allen as an example, because I think a lot of ways Tim Allen, we kind of grew up in a generation, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah, sure.
The other side of that would be more humility and meekness. Jesus was meek and he was submissive. It ties in with that silent dignity that you mentioned earlier. Is that about right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So meekness, I actually write in the book that I think meekness is one of our missing masculine characteristics or virtues, which is, not something most people would say, I think. Meekness was used before Jesus used it in the Beatitudes. It shows up in some ancient Greek writings where they specifically use it to describe war horses, horses trained for battle. And the idea behind these war horses being meek was not that they were made passive or docile or robbed of their strength. Far from it. They wanted horses that retained all of the characteristics of their wildness, their strength, their courage, their boldness. But that horse had to be brought under the control of a rider. It had to be disciplined. And so meekness, that's how they would describe one of these war horses. It retained all of its strength, but it was also strength under control, strength that could be directed towards something productive. Sometimes I'll use the image of a boxer. We don't just measure a boxer's strength by how hard he can punch. We also will describe a boxer as strong when he can absorb a blow, if he can take hit after hit. That's a kind of strength as well. And that's what Jesus is getting at when he says, blessed are the meek. He's describing a person not who's weak or sort of timid, but a person who can absorb a blow without being reactionary to just hit back, a kind of inner strength that allows us to be able to withstand things, to still be cool and rationed, and to make wise, good decisions, even as we are being wrongly accused, even as we are being attacked, even as we are taking blows. There's a kind of inner strength that holds us together in the midst of that. So I think that's a really important one for men, because it is so easy to just be reactionary all the time, to never stop and think. And I define humility, my little definition for humility is self-suspicion. In other words, humility allows me to pause for a moment and say, maybe there's something here I need to learn. Maybe I'm getting something wrong. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe not. Maybe you have it right. That first impulse is correct. But that discipline of saying, I want to think before I act. I want to think before I speak. I want to consider something before I'm reactive to it. Those two pieces of humility and meekness, I think, are sort of the door that opens that allows us to begin to mature as men and grow and cultivate a better character.
You know what? Your analogy of the boxer could not have been a better visual. Chase, that is awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad that's helpful.
Well, it's cool because your book, there's a lot in this. And so it explains Moses' ambitions. It explains David's quests. And it explains how God uses Abraham's testing, with Isaac. There's a lot in this, in the five masculine instincts in your book. You're taking five different qualities, five stories that we're familiar with through scripture, and you're tying it together. It's like, you know what? Men have different layers. We're not just like one dimensional. Same as women. We have a lot of dimensions too.
Yeah, that's right. I take those five instincts from one of Shakespeare's famous monologues, All the World's a Stage, and each of us men and women have our entrances and our exits. He goes on to describe these stages of a man's life, or ages. They're sometimes chronological, but they're really just the narratives or the impulses that we have as men. And you're right to point out those can be mixed, they can change, they can be one man can be motivated in his behavior by one instinct, and the same man can do the same behavior, but do it out of a very different instinct or impulse. So what I hope the book would do would give language to men to start recognizing, maybe this is why I'm behaving this way or feeling this way, and have the language to be able to talk about it and start to understand it better within themselves. Because these instincts aren't the expectations of men, the five expectations. You have to have these to qualify as a man. Certainly that's not what I'm saying. They're also not the five sins of men. Just watch out for these things. Things like ambition and adventure and reputation are good things. But if they're overindulged, if they become the controlling driver of your life and you aren't able to master them, they instead master you, then they have a tendency to lead you blindly into a kind of destruction. So the book really is about, from Shakespeare all the way through today, looking at some of these impulses men have lived by and learning to control them versus being controlled by them.
You know what? Well said, because that's the control portion to it, which leads to my next question. How do we know? Because sometimes we're so confident in ourselves. We're so confident in our abilities. I think that's crazy important. But how do we know when our own confidence is overriding God? Where we start, it turns from being submissive in Christ to being really gods to ourselves because we are so confident. How do we know the line?
Well, so I use C.S. Lewis's definition of an instinct as behavior as if from knowledge. So in other words, we behave as if we've thought about it and decided when oftentimes we haven't. It's an instinct that feels like knowledge to us that's leading us to action and behavior. So the philosopher Nietzsche said that an instinct is weakened when we force it to rationalize itself. So when we ask our instincts hard questions, which is the thing that we haven't done, that's what makes it an instinct, right? We just indulge the impulse. But when we pause for a moment and start to ask ourselves questions about things that we've just always assumed or seen common sense, but we really get serious about asking, why am I doing that? Is that actually true? That instinct loses some of its power, that it loses some of its control over us and actually gives us that power back to start making wiser decisions. I think that's the process of maturing and developing character, is those decisions becoming intentional versus just instincts. So for a man who finds himself really quick to action, sometimes those actions outpacing what God may be asking of him, I think it's an important discipline to learn to pause and push the conversation deeper than just action and start asking yourself, what's motivating me? What are those instincts that I've just assumed are the way I'm supposed to be that maybe are leading me towards things of destruction? Maybe even good things, but things that I've overindulged or become too important to me.
Talking to Chase, wait for it. I got it, right? Reposal?
You got
it. Ah, there we go. I knew it was going to hit it on the spot on at least once. At least one time.
Nobody can spell it, so it's Chase's part as well.
The book is called The Five Masculine Instincts. It's written by Chase Replogle, Replogle. And where do we find the book, Chase?
So the book's anywhere online you order books, and I know my male audience, there's also an audiobook version, so don't worry, I've got you covered there. But anything you need is at thefivemasculineinstincts.com. I've even got an assessment you can take there, a little 25-question assessment that'll help you maybe sort out which of these instincts might be strongest for you right now. Nothing scientific, but a good starting point. And that's thefivemasculineinstincts.com. You can Google it and find it as well.
And now, how do we find out more about you?
Yeah, so there's information there on the Five Masculine Instincts website, so you can go there. There's a link to the podcast I do, Pastor Writer. Both of those have about pages. And there's contact forms. Those come to me. So if you read the book and have questions or thoughts, or you just want to shoot me an email, I always love getting them.
You're a pastor, and you keep yourself busy at the podcast. You have this book. Would there be a follow-up?
There is. Right now, I'm really focused on just trying to get the book in as many hands as possible. And Father's Day is coming up, so it's really trying to help churches pick up copies or anybody who's interested in giving them as gifts for Father's Day. So I'm just enjoying all these conversations, but there's some thoughts for a book, too. So hopefully not too far into the future.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Chase, thank you so much for today. I had so much fun meeting you and talking about dudes and all of our qualities and characters and learning that God can use them. And it's not always a bad thing or a strike if you are who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. God's got good things for all the men listening. We just be faithful to him. I'm grateful for the opportunity.